Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Great that you're here at The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Today we have a guest out of Des Moines, Iowa. Great city in this country. We have Drew McClellan, co-editor of The Age of Conversation. And McClellanMarketing.com is their website. We've got Drew for a few segments today, and we'll tell you a little bit more about him as the show progresses. Also up today, it is, just a few moments away. Patrick Meyer is going to talk about dynamic brand assets. And Gene Bliss, our customer experience person, emotions, not stuff. Whatever that means, you'll have to wait and see. So here we are, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. Glad you're listening.
Yeah, and let me be the last to wish you a happy new year, Ray.
Okay, thank you. Likewise,
yeah.
Back
you tired of that?
Oh, no, not at
no?
all. No, this new year has gone forward so rapidly. It's like, what do you mean it's already, the 13th. Come on now.
Exactly.
You've got to be kidding me. It's halfway through the month. But anyway, no, it's good. It's been a great year, and so far. I guess that's a positive outlook, isn't it?
Yeah, and a lot of news is coming out of Vegas this week on the electronic show, and I'll be talking a little bit about that later in the...
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff going on out there.
Yeah, and I guess soon we'll be driving without a driver. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, what's his name? Al Roker did that on the Today Show, and it was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Although, it looks like it's far from anything that we might see in the next decade or so. It's nice that the truck actually went around a circle and everything, but put it in traffic and try that.
And I immediately thought that you will be able to go back to drinking and driving.
Oh, God.
No, not really. But a lot of...
Wait, before we go back there, you see the thing stopped? It almost threw him out of the truck?
No. Actually,
I got to stop work. I got to work on that stopping part.
It's funny you say that, because I saw the promo for it and the break and coming back with that, and I didn't, and
didn't
I missed
catch it.
So,
okay.
No,
it was a good segment, yeah.
A lot of the electronic gadgets this year are involved with automotive. Apparently, automotive aligned up with a lot of that. Although I did see an interesting piece, maybe you did too, Ray, about it was a little video thing on Bill Gates. Did you happen to see that?
I did. I didn't watch it, though. Tell me what that's
about. Well, I'm sure it's on YouTube by now, but it's basically a little promotional piece, intro for Bill Gates and Microsoft, and it plays off of the fact that, these various celebrities in high places, I'm talking, Clinton, mm-hmm. I'm talking... a lot of people. Who else? Some of the NBC Nightly News. Brian Williams.
Brian Williams. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all doing these little snippets, jokes, if you will, about Bill Gates. And you'd have to really see it. Me trying to describe it would not do it justice. But
sure.
It goes to show you how many people are willing to play along with a joke that they pull on Bill Gates. The guy's got some friends in high places, I must say.
I guess so. You just got to know that the man has a sense of humor, and he'll accept that. That would be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, this past week, Letterman did a thing with the – of course, he's back on with the writers because he's paying them.
Right.
But they're still on strike. He did a funny thing. He sent writers into a – striking writers with picket signs into a Starbucks. No, a Jamba Juice.
Hmm.
It was so funny. One of the bits on his show. He's stretching, including getting shaved, which is nice.
I'm surprised, and maybe he didn't. I missed it, but I'm surprised Leno didn't come out with a fake beard a day or two after, with both Letterman and who else? The guy that follows
Jimmy Kimmel.
No, the beard with the guy that follows Leno.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
The guy that's going to take his place.
Yeah,
we're big fans, folks. Okay,
well,
so we
can
know
you tell?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but with the strike and everything like that, mm-hmm. NBC is offering folks cash back for the canceled Golden Globe Awards,
yeah.
Which is really nice. Wouldn't that be hard to write that check back?
Wouldn't it?
$10 million to $15 million back to the folks who thought they might be a part of the show, but, you know, oh, well, like maybe next year.
Right.
So I guess some of the execs at NBC probably won't be taking some of the vacations or making the purchases that they had planned on.
Well, it's interesting, Ray, because that, I saw a piece recently in the Wall Street Journal about not only that, but now all of Madison Avenue as well as the networks are concerned about the upcoming Academy Awards and whether they're going to pull that off in February.
Wow.
It's February 24th on ABC. And they're wondering whether the strike will be over or if they're going to go through the same issue that they just went through with the with the Golden Globes. So
right, exactly.
If they do, you know, the Academy Awards is right up there with the Super Bowl in terms of the revenue that that thing generates. So
you think about that.
That's not 80 million. Time, 80 million last year.
Time, okay, these guys are making their point, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to work now. We have Patrick Meyer here with us on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Today I'm going to talk to you about dynamic brand assets. Most marketers are still pretty linear in how they view their brand assets. I want you to dump this thinking because the world has changed. The consumer owns half of your brand, if not all of your brand, and they're looking for a whole different way of connecting to them. In the now world, your logo has to be animated in 3D with accompanying sound for a start. Then you need to deliver real innovation continuously so you create new brand assets. The consumer also has to have the ability to embrace your brand and make it their own, or in many cases even create their own content using your brand. And yes, these are all assets. Take, for example, Apple. They're constantly evolving what they bring to the consumer, whether it's Mac, whether it's Apple, iPod, iPod accessories, etc. They also have advertising equities that are constantly evolving. They have their retail experience. All of those assets are constantly evolving in new forms and touching the consumer. Here's what I would ask you to do now. Do your own form of assessment. You, your agency, your team. Make a list of those things that you have, those that are historical, those that are evolving, those properties, those sponsorships, but get them all down on one piece of paper. And then assess them on how connected are they to today and tomorrow. Next, factor in those things that you have coming. New campaigns, new advertising, new products, new retail experiences. What do you have planned going forward? And this is the beginning of a roadmap of those assets that you're going to build and others that you're going to take and evolve over the longer term.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer as your Marketing Insider. And remember, the revolution is now. Hey, you want to know more? Go to nowinc.net or send me an email at patrick@nowinc.net.
Send it right now. He'd love it.
Yeah,
you know, he's
please.
Not doing anything today.
He loves
we
his
have
spam.
Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Let me tell you a little bit about Drew McClellan. The Age of Conversation, he is the co-editor of that publication. Theageofconversation.com is the website. Drew gets branding and marketing, and he desperately wants you to get it, too. All right, so he tells stories, asks questions, and milks sacred cows. They have those in Des Moines. All to help clients mm-hmm. discover their brand so they can create authentic love affairs with their customers. He's not only survived 20 years in advertising and marketing, he's thrived in it after working for several agencies, including Young & Rubicam, CMF and Z. Drew created McClellan Marketing Group. That was in 95. He is considered a national branding expert. He has it right on his shirt. It says it right there.
Yeah,
he's
I can
a highly
see that
sought
from there,
after. Yeah. Yeah, it says highly sought after speaker, has given about a zillion presentations, national conferences, keynotes, training for his peers in the profession, college students, even his daughter's ninth grade class. Apparently that was one of the career days, okay,
yeah.
Which is
bring
good.
Bring your daughter to school.
He actually impersonated an astronaut on that day, so it was a little bit weird.
Well, we're not going to ask what kind of pants he was wearing. This just in from NBC email, Conan O'Brien was who we were trying to think of last
night.
Right before Patrick came. Yeah, so. Hopefully he shaved that ugly red beard by now. Have you seen that thing? I mean, the guy looks like a leprechaun.
Yeah, he looks like the guy. No, he looks like that. There's a cartoon character. Well, he's got an odd-looking face anyway, but,
yes.
So do many of the
television host and personalities. Conan O'Brien is the one.
Okay. Yeah.
And Letterman looks better without the beard, and Leno,
I think,
who knows?
So. Yeah.
You know, probably could use one. I don't know.
Too much chin.
Yeah, way too much. Drew McClellan, along with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. That's next.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
These are the three largest selling soft drinks. Now, let's have a look and see what makes them so popular. As you can see, this one is a cola. It looks like a cola.
There you go, 7-Up, a commercial from the, was from the 70s, I would imagine. And recently they rebranded that as well. They put a new formula in, they said, and made it look a little bit more contemporary, kind of like Xerox is doing with their brand right now. On The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, our guest out of Des Moines, and it's Drew McClellan, co-editor of The Age of Conversation. We told you a little bit about Drew, but now we're going to find out a whole bunch more. Drew, it is an honor and a pleasure to have you here on The Advertising Show. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, let's lay some groundwork here for the book before we get into its content. And outstanding read. Both Ray and I thought the format was really interesting, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But first off, describe for us, Drew, what's being called the Age of Conversation? What, in a nutshell, what is the Age of Conversation?
The Age of Conversation, the way we defined it, was the fact that social media and the Internet and all of the new tools that are available to the average Joe. I just read a statistic today that 50% of Americans are creating content on the Internet somewhere. So anyway, it's, the whole notion is that the monologue that companies and advertisers have enjoyed for a long time, where we just got to talk at the people, is really gone. And in fact, as I like to call it, the animals have taken over the zoo. Mm-hmm. So consumers are really embracing the opportunity to talk back and to actually initiate conversations, whether companies want to engage in conversation or not.
And I see you have a 2007 copyright on the book, and it's I'm curious, what sparked the idea to develop a book on this content?
Well, the book actually evolved sort of accidentally, to be honest. I posted something on my blog about Wharton producing a book where they invited everybody and anybody to contribute a chapter, and no matter what you wrote, it was going to go into the book. So I wrote a post on my blog talking about, gee, I wonder if this is the new direction of publishing. Gavin Heaton, my co-editor of the book, who is in Sydney, Australia, made a comment saying, you know, geez, Drew, I bet if we pull together some of our marketing friends around the world, we could do the same thing. And with that, we were off and running. And so we issued the challenge that we were looking for 100 authors, and in less than 7 days, we had over 100 people agree that they were each going to write a chapter. We gave them the topic, The Age of Conversation, and this was all right after all of the news media had sort of decided that you, if you remember, was the person of the year, and it was all about, the buzz was really about citizen marketing and conversation. So anyway, we set the conversation, the Age of Conversation, as the topic. We gave the authors 2 weeks to write their chapter, and then we were off to editing and layout. And about 3 months after the idea first came to us, we had a published book.
So did you call it down to 100, or did you decide upon the 100 you were going to allow to write and just draw the line at there? And by the way, I noticed it's 103, I guess, instead of 100, right?
Right. We had 106 people originally say yes. We had 103 submit chapters, so we went ahead and used all 103. 103 authors from 10 countries.
Yeah. And after all, on the cover, if it says 100 voices, one conversation, to say 103 voices in one conversation, you'd have to reprint the cover, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Get a big marker, okay? Just 103.
Exactly. It just didn't sound the same.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so
although it worked for 101 Dalmatians, come on,
that's
Drew.
A good point.
Yeah, right.
Well, that is a good point.
We didn't want Disney after us, though.
So who should be reading this book, Drew?
This book, I think, is an interesting read for, we've had a lot of college professors tell us that they are using it in their communications classes. I think it's a great read for students of marketing and advertising, whether you're 18 or, you know, 48. it's really about 103 different perspectives, and we really did not dictate what kind of a perspective anybody had as long as they stayed true to the arching topic. It really is just all a variety of views of how the world is changing and how business is changing because of it and how we as marketers are going to have to react differently. So it really is an interesting read, and one of the nice things about the variety of authors is I think you also have a variety of levels mm-hmm. of interest. So anybody, regardless of how sophisticated they are in our business, I think is going to find something that piques their interest.
Yeah, and a real easy read, one-page snippet on each particular author generally, and really worthwhile taking a look at that. And you, as mentioned earlier, ageofconversation.com is a place you can go to check out more. Let's talk a little bit about content for a moment. Drew, early on in your book, you tackle how to get the most out of a blog, and you, for those that may be thinking about starting a blog, my goodness, you've been writing one for several years. Share with us some of the ideas behind how to score big and offer something that people will really want to read regularly.
I think one of the biggest keys to writing a blog is sort of having a plan in advance, sort of knowing why you're doing it, what success looks like for you, because for some people, it may not be having a horde of readers. It may be something different. So identifying what success is and then being really clear about who your audience is. And just like, you know, sort of marketing 101, you can't be everything to everybody. So really niching your audience down so that you know exactly who you're writing for and making sure that as you're creating content, you're checking against that to say, yep, you know, my readers are going to be interested in that. And then, you know, the blogging basics are make sure you have plenty of fresh content, a minimum of 3 to 4, you know, fresh posts a week. And as we know, some of the hottest blogs, especially the tech blogs, they're putting several posts up a day. So, you know, you've got to have fresh content. And then I think as blogging becomes more mainstream, the quality of writing and the quality of content becomes even of greater importance because mm-hmm. people have a lot of choices, and so they're really going to narrow down quickly. No one has time to read, you know, 200 blogs a day.
Yeah. Well, and you said that some are posting 3 to 4 times a day, and some are, you say a minimum you should post 3-4 times a week. Would you assume that if you're posting 3 or 4 times a day that you're gaining more audience than you would if you did it only 3 to 4 times a week? Is that a fair assumption?
I think it kind of depends on your audience. For example, I think the tech guys, when they're publishing 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day, their audience is hungry for that hot-off-the-press news. I think for me, with a marketing and branding blog, if I posted 3 or 4 marketing tips or ideas or trends every day, I think I would actually lose readers because mm-hmm. they would feel bombarded.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So
and
just
so there
enough,
is,
yeah.
Yeah, there's no magical number is what I hear you saying.
Nope, there's a relatively successful blog that he posts once a week on Fridays. So, you know, I think you just, the great thing about blogging is it's so new that it's safe to experiment and try different things. And if something's not working for you, you adjust.
Mm-hmm. What is it about blogging? What do we have, a minute left here, Ray?
Actually, a little bit less than a minute, so go ahead.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to ask about blogging, and we'll just hold it for the next segment, if it's okay.
Okay, we'll blog on here on the Advertising Show. Drew McClellan, my special guest out of Des Moines, co-editor of The Age of Conversation, theageofconversation.com, if you want to find out more about that, and we certainly hope you do. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show, being powered by Tendency and a really cool platform that is an incredible marketing tool for anybody who has got a website. So check it out. It's Shipple.com. Tendency is the program, and it's a great thing to do. So we'll be back in just a minute with more on the Advertising Show.
Why do more media professionals read IWantMedia.com? IWantMedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. IWantMedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says IWantMedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit IWantMedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Stronger than dirt.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And out of, actually fresh out of caucusing with the big guys, you know, rubbing elbows with Barack and Hillary and those guys, Drew McClellan out of Des Moines, the co-editor of The Age of Conversation. Drew, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and before we move on, just to finish up on blogging, what is it, Drew, about blogging that makes it so effective as an agent of change between marketers and a blogger's audience?
I think it's the fact that it sort of levels the playing field. It is a conversation, and it's almost impossible to blog and not sort of let it boil down to almost a personal level where you are literally one-on-one having a conversation, even if 30 of you are having a conversation in the comments section. It feels very intimate, and I think it is so. So it's much more accessible for everybody, and it sort of brings everybody to sort of the same level. So it's a very effective way for companies to reach out and talk and touch their customers, and it's equally effective way, I think, for the individuals to get the company's attention.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. One of the contributors that you have in your book, one of the 103, points out how in the digital age, power has shifted from the few to the many. I think we would all agree with that. But my question is, when do we hit a saturation point where individuals can no longer stand out because of the sheer number of people seeking a voice? Or are we already there?
I think we're probably already there. I think there's a lot of noise out there that does not get attention. And that's what I was saying in the earlier segment. I think the quality of blogging has gone way up in the last few years. As the field gets more crowded, you know, the best of the bloggers sort of rise to the top. And so those people who are content relevant and who are really engaging in a conversation and sort of inviting people into the conversation are the ones that are really getting attention. And, you know, there are plenty of blogs out there. You know, there's a bazillion blogs that probably nobody but their mom and, you know, cousins are reading. So I think there's a broad spectrum. I think there's room for everybody. It all depends on what, again, back to that, what's success for you? What are you trying to do?
And how do you promote a blog? Let's say you decide, let's say somebody listening today decides it's time that they have their own blog, and certainly the finding the mechanics of how to do that's pretty simple nowadays. But beyond that, how do you promote your blog?
I think it's very parallel with the shift that we've been talking about from the monologue to the dialogue. I think the way you promote your blog is by going out there and engaging with other bloggers and by engaging in conversations on their blog and inviting them to come to yours. So it's really about going out and giving first. It's about promoting other blogs on your blog and also taking it offline, obviously, and doing things and using traditional media to promote your blog. It is not, we've created many corporate blogs for clients, and one of the first lessons that's important for them to understand is this is not a sprint, this is a marathon, and for a long time it's going to feel like you're writing for yourself. And what you're really doing is you're building a library so that as you create readers, they have content to dig deeper into that you've created over time. But it's not a quick fix.
Yeah, and you've been quoted as saying the marketer's monologue is going away and there's this sort of immediate democracy. Talk about what you mean by this.
Well, I think what happens is that all of a sudden, I'll give you a great example. There was a blog post about a department store and the fact that it was a disaster, and the blogger posted photographs of how what a mess the department store was and the dressing rooms and all that sort of stuff. The company chose not to engage. The employees, however, chose to engage in great numbers. And now when you do a Google search for that company's name, this guy, the blog, comes up number three. So that's one of the ways that I think all of a sudden the average Joe can impact a company, whether the company chooses to jump into the conversation or not.
And when did this is obviously a trend, and I think companies out there are waking up to the fact that you know, you can no longer hire a PR firm to, you know, put the spin that the corporate, you know, what am I trying to say? That corporate headquarters once spun out there.
You kind of got to open up your insides and be real to people.
Yep. Exactly.
They'll see through it, yeah.
Exactly. So was there any one event that happened in the last few years that really made people wake up to that, Drew?
I'm not sure that a lot of companies have woken up to that yet. Yeah. I think they're, the companies that have been burned by it, like Dell and some others, have sort of come around. I think some whose company culture, like Southwest Airlines, was always sort of that transparent and authentic, you know, don't have to put on airs, just be real. Yeah. They, of course, have embraced the blogosphere in a big way. But I think for most companies, they're still trying to apply the old rules to the new game. Mm-hmm. So I think we're at the very cusp, the very beginning of corporate America catching on that the old ways aren't going to work anymore.
You know, I was really surprised to read that your co-editor, Gavin Heaton, said that blogging wasn't as developed in Australia as it is in the U.S. I thought
That's
it was a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah, you would think it would be worldwide as well.
Yeah.
Drew McClellan is our special guest, top dog at McClellan Marketing Group. By the way, it's drewsmarketingminute.com is his blog, okay? Back with more of our interview with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe on The Advertising Show in just a minute.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
Welcome back to The Advertising. If you need one of those, man, you had too good of a time over the holidays, okay? With Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe and our special guest out of Des Moines, Drew McClellan. The book is called, co-editor, he is, of The Age of Conversation, theageofconversation.com. And as far as your master's degree from the University of Minnesota, Drew, I'm not sure they have a fight song. Or maybe they do. I don't know.
They just don't get to sing it very often, I think, is the problem.
There you go.
And that would be the University of Minnesota what?
Gophers.
Gophers. I thought that was right.
Which I think also inspires a lot of fight song lyrics.
Gophers, yeah.
Good reason to jump in a hole.
That's right.
Yes.
Go for it.
Yeah. Just to wrap up, why is it, as we were saying before the end of the segment, last segment, why, I thought Australia or any other major continent around America had, or around the world rather, had bloggers. Why is Australia not blogging as much as in the U.S.? What's going on there?
I don't think it's that they don't have bloggers. I think that the blogging here in the States has sort of reached a different level of awareness than in Australia. I think there are plenty of bloggers in Australia, but the traditional media there has done a pretty good job of sort of keeping the lid on it. I think they're feeling a little more threatened than the American traditional media, who is sort of grudgingly opening their arms, I think, to bloggers. So we're hearing a lot of good things out of Australian bloggers, and I'm sure that that will continue. So they're there. They just haven't figured out yet how to make as much noise as the Americans.
Yeah, and by the way, I understand the project that you, Age of Conversation project is going to be revamped annually with a new topic to be announced shortly. When will you be announcing that? Will you be announcing that on your blog? And if so, Ray wanted to know if he could contribute next time.
He can if he'd like to, you bet. We're going to announce it in the next couple weeks, yes, on my blog. Mm-hmm. And we will be doing the same thing where we will be putting out a call for authors and starting the process all over again. It was it was shortly after the launch of Age of Conversation that Gavin and I had a brief email exchange where we were sort of congratulating each other on getting through it, and I don't even remember which one of us said, okay, well, when the pain is done, should we do it again? And we decided that, yes, we would. Yeah. One of the reasons why we're so engaged in the process is because all of the proceeds of the book are donated to a worldwide children's charity, Variety, the children's charity. So nobody makes a dime off of any of these books, which is really a great rallying cry to get all the authors to help promote it and to celebrate it. So that's part of the reason why we're coming around for round two.
Very honorable, charitable contribution there, and honorable of you guys to do that. And you don't want to announce what that topic is today prior to your blog?
I really do want to, but I'm not allowed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ray and I will guess after we get you off the air today.
Fair enough.
Can we do multiple choice, true, false?
I think it's going to be something about Conan O'Brien, beard or no beard.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's the secret word.
Right.
You were able to put this project together in just, what, three months or so?
Yeah, 3.5 months, sort of a stunning timetable. One of our goals was, one of the things I think that this whole new social media brings about is that anything that has left to cool for too long, people are on to something new. Things come up so fast, and you know, people's attention spans seem to be getting shorter and shorter. So our goal was really to move it quickly so that we didn't lose momentum. So like I said, we gave authors about 2 weeks to get their chapters written. We did some editing, sent a few back to editor or writers who didn't understand the word count was actually a mandatory, and in a couple months had it laid out and, you know, off to the print.
Cut and paste, right? Or delete.
Yep.
That would be delete in that case. We're just about out of time here, Brad. We've got so much more to talk about, but my goodness. Drew, you've done a great thing here. DrewsMarketingMinute.com. The book is called The Age of Conversation. TheAgeOfConversation.com is where we're going to find out more about that. And it's been fun having you on the show. Thanks
it's
for...
It's been great. Thank you so much.
Continued success, and we'll look for the new stuff coming our way, too.
Sounds great. I'll shoot you an email.
Okay. It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. Back with more in just a minute.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
You know me. Would you believe I'm Bugs Bunny? I'm also the voice of many other cartoon characters. But in here, they don't care if I'm Elmer Fudd. So I carry an American Express.
American Express has come such a long way since then. And now they have the Raspberry card or whatever it's called. I don't know. Thanks to Drew McClellan, our guest today on The Advertising Show, The Age of Conversation. He is the co-editor. His co-author is in, what do you say, Australia, right?
Yes, okay. Australia. Mm-hmm.
And next week we've got Robert Arena. He started a football thing. Robert Arena is vice president of Interactive at Carton Donofrio Partners, and we will find out more about Bob, if he allows us to call him Bob. Next week on The Advertising Show. And lots more to come, too, as we get 2008 officially underway. One of the big things, you know, you talk about so much of alternative media, and you talk about new media and different ways of getting your message out. It's not the traditional stuff anymore, including a gentleman who is a comic, and he had been living, I think he should just be about done right now, he's for a week living in an IKEA store, and it's on YouTube. Have you seen that?
No.
Mark Malkoff, live in one of the stores for a week while his apartment gets fumigated. And basically he eats, sleeps, and showers in the IKEA store in Paramus, New Jersey, all in front of a webcam. Maybe not the shower part, as they're saying. And basically you can watch him, and obviously if you're in Paramus or want to take a trip to Paramus, you can go see him in person. What a great idea.
It is a good idea.
I mean, that's fantastic. It got us talking about IKEA in Paramus.
Yes.
So, congratulations, and, IKEA.
Who did he go to them, or I wonder how that whole thing came about. Does it say?
I'd have to look. Let's see. I'm not sure why he visited us. Oh, he also visited 117 Manhattan Starbucks locations in a previous stunt. You know, if you're an advertiser, you might want to latch on to this guy.
Yeah.
He's doing some really cool stuff. Can we take a break here for our good friend Jeannie Bliss?
Absolutely.
Okay. Customer experience, emotions. No, not yet, Jeannie. Hold on. Emotions, not stuff, is what she's talking about. Let's find out.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
In our quest to keep our best customers, we really have missed the boat with the prevalent loyalty program mentality. We should not be focusing on the points or stuff we give customers, but more importantly, focus on how we make our best customers feel about doing business with us and how important they are to us. Building loyalty and earning the right for continued loyalty with our best customers is about managing relationships and emotions, not program components, fulfillment houses, and the amount of logoed stuff we can get on their desks. See if you can't instill that in your corporation so you can add this critical and sorely missed dimension into the way we manage customer loyalty. Next time a meeting is called to discuss loyalty programs, get people instead to kick around how to increase the emotional standing with your customers, in addition to adding the newest whiz-bang feature to the loyalty points program. Customers will notice, and you'll find that it opens a floodgate of creative opportunity in what you can and should do for your best customers to keep them that way.
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Glad to have Jean along with us here as we roll into 2008 on the Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. What is that you're looking at?
Well, you know, I'm such a huge fan of Whoopi Goldberg.
Was that believable? Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg's national radio show may be short-lived or short-lived. You know, they say that both ways. Whoopi has officially now lost its New York affiliate, WKTU-FM in New York, following top market affiliate losses in Chicago, Philadelphia, and Monterey, California last year.
I've deja vu here.
Oh, yes, right. Yeah, we know those people. Syndication's an interesting thing, and Ray and I have some experience in that area, and we'll just leave it at that. The show has also now lost its co-host. You'll know this name, Ray.
Yeah.
Paul Cubby Bryant, who was named yesterday to replace Whoopi on the Clear Channel stations weekdays 6 to 10 beginning January 14th.
Paul Cubby is from our home market of Houston. So
he's been around for a while.
Replacing Whoopi. Okay.
Whoopi.
I don't know how that's possible, but that's fine.
And, hopefully she's, making enough money with The View and maybe a movie here or there that it doesn't matter other
than
her ego.
She's had a really successful career, though.
Yes, she has. She's outspoken on The View. I mean, she's definitely, I think she's a little, she's outspoken, I'm going to say it this way, she's outspoken, but she's got a little intellect behind it as opposed to Rosie, which was just outspoken.
Okay, yeah. Where did Rosie end up? Rosie didn't end up anywhere,
Blog.
Did she? She's blogging? Okay.
I think she probably is. Yeah, she is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. As you can tell, you and I haven't signed up yet, but I just happen to know that.
No. You know, the blogging thing is interesting, and he brings up a good point, Drew did earlier. And he's right. You can give people too much information or not enough information. And also, if you give them something that is not of valid content, you're goofing around with them, and they're going to say, this is a bunch of crap.
Right.
You know, and we're not, and, you know, we're not going to participate in this anymore. So.
And for the record, you, Ray, and I'll say it, you push out information each week within your area of expertise having to do with your company, RadioLoungeUSA.com, if you want to visit. And you do a good job because you put out relevant information, and it's only 2, 3, 4 paragraphs, and it's not just, you know, it's not sitting there writing to see yourself right. There's valid information that's being put out, and I think the people receiving it appreciate it.
Actually, Bruce is the author of those things, and
he
does a great job as well on that stuff, and you're absolutely right, but thanks for the plug. That's great.
Sure.
We have, for your listening enjoyment next week on the Advertising Show, Robert Arena. Should have echo on there. Vice President of Interactive at Carton Donofrio Partners. And we'll have Robert here for, like I said, next week with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Hope you had a good time listening to the show today. You know, there's lots of these shows out there, and they're all available for download as podcast and all that kind of cool stuff at theadvertisingshow.com. It's a great place to get your friends to visit, whether it's during the weekend like now or during the week as well. So with that said, thanks for listening, and tell a friend, as you say, Brad. The Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at edage.com. This is a Big Radio Midgets production.